You know, I have a lot of random thoughts today that I'll share with you. It being September 11th, right? September 11th might mean different things to different people, but I'm sure everybody remembers September 11th and the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and that place over in Pennsylvania where the aircraft went down. I don't know if we got anything up there. Here we go. Now, I'm probably the last person that should be teaching a lesson on obedience, right? Because we all know ourselves and we all know the way we are. So I'm one of those people that said, I don't like being told what to do, so I joined the Army. And so I was in the Army. I retired from the Army, and then I have 20 years working for the Army. So that's a total of 40 years come February. So that's where I'm at. Matter of fact, I was in active duty. I was active duty in Fort Lee, Virginia, and that's where I was stationed. And I was supposed to be at the Pentagon on September 11th. And so I didn't go, and I had someone else go for me. I was a warrant officer in the Army, and somebody went for me on September 11th. And that other person was there when the aircraft hit the Pentagon on September 11th. And so he excused himself from the meeting before the aircraft hit. He didn't know it was coming, of course. And he went to the restroom. And when he came out of the restroom, the hallway was gone. And so he survived it. He told me about it. But you don't recover too well after something like that mentally, seeing all those people that passed away before your eyes and all the rubble and everything. But that's my September 11th story for today. But if you would, turn to Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 13, and then I'll pray. Thank you very much, sir. And I don't have an update on Brother Mullins' wife, Debbie, for you. And I would want to ask his permission to give you an update anyway. But make sure you pray for the Mullins and Steve and Debbie and their whole family. And his son Levi, and I'm not sure of his other son's name, but pray for that family. And all right, if you're at Acts chapter 4, verse 13, then I'll pray. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for allowing us to get up out of bed this morning. We thank you for the ability to get in our vehicles and drive here so we can meet as you command. We're so thankful, Lord, to serve such a gracious, merciful Lord. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We thank you for being such a great God. There's so many of us, Lord, that either going through something or have been through something or know somebody that's going through something, and we pray that you'll help us, Lord. We come before your grace and mercy and your throne of mercy and grace, and we just pray that you'll help us today and help those around us that are not feeling well, those that couldn't be here that would certainly like to be here. We pray that you'll touch them. You're the great physician. Dear Lord in heaven, I pray that you be with the Mullins family. Pray that you be with each and every one on the prayer list here and all the unspokens, no doubt, that a lot of people have in this room. Again, we love you, Lord. We pray that you'll be with us this morning. Help us. Help us to learn. Help us to serve. Help us to apply what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Acts 4:13. I read this morning, and I think it's just so important to remind ourselves. Acts 4:13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," we probably could insert, I know I could insert my name there. I am unlearned and ignorant. And then it goes on to say, "They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." And unless I get a different direction, but it says that they had been with Jesus. You know what? It's good to know the Bible. It's good to know Bible trivia. It's good to know information. And it's great that we're able to think and have a sound mind. But you know what? The main thing that we need today, the main thing that I need today, is I want to feel, I want to know when I leave those doors, I want people to see that I have been with Jesus. You know, it's when they seen Peter and John and they looked at them and they knew that they were with Jesus. That is so powerful to know that they were in the presence of the Lord and they had been with Jesus. That's what we need. We need to have a good, solid relationship with the Lord. We need to have a good prayer life. We need to have a good thought life. But we need to apply what we learn and go out the doors. And it applies to every age. It doesn't matter what age you are. I I'm preaching to me as I preach to you, teaching to me as I teach to you. You know, trying to let myself know, hand out those tracts, tell people about the Lord, try and influence people to have a relationship with Christ. I think that's so important. But obedience, let me get to this and then I'll get back to these other thoughts. But last time we talked about being a godly example. If you were here, I don't know if you remember that. I talked in 1 Timothy. Yeah, 1 Timothy, we talked about being a godly example. And just to recap, a godly example in word, the things you say, in conversation, the way you conduct yourself, the places you go, and in charity, in love. And now there's a couple other in that verse, but those were the three that I focused on last time I was here. But we need to be a good example, because if you're not a good example, like the president should be the ultimate example for us, right? But at the same time, we need to be a good example or people won't want to listen to us. You know, you hand out a tract, right? A tract right after you're a bad example, I mean, that's not going to be very effective probably to that person, but, you know, the tract could go somewhere else. But we need to be a good example. And then the second thing we brought up a couple weeks ago was Satan wants to stop you. And in Matthew chapter 4, it talks about how Jesus was tempted and brought up on the mountain, and the devil and Satan was testing him, and you know, he replied with scripture, and the devil wanted to stop Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, right? But of course, you know, we know that that didn't happen. But when we decide that we're going to live for Christ, when we decide we're going to change the way we are this morning and be a little bit different when we leave this afternoon and we apply some of the truths and the principles from God's Word, when we decide to do that, you got a big bullseye on you, and the devil's going to be looking at you. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to impress upon you and be convicted. I need to go talk to this person. I need to go talk to that person. And if you don't, then the devil gets the victory, right? But we need to be a good example and don't let Satan stop us. And then we also talked about David a little bit and how David, you know, David fought Goliath, but he was prepared well before he went to that battle. He was prepared. The Lord helped him prepare himself. He prepared by using his, you know, slingshot. He prepared by playing his harp, and that helped him in the ministry of helping Saul and other people. But he was prepared, and he was dedicated. And the revelation that we were talking about there was he waited, even though he was anointed king when he was young, he waited, and he trusted in the Lord, and he didn't do anything on his own until he was crowned king. And he waited on the Lord's timing. And if you remember, we were talking about waiting on the Lord's timing. So important. You get ahead of God, then bad things could happen. And you probably all have in your mind a time when you got ahead of God and made a decision that didn't really honor him and didn't really work out well for you. We don't want to go down that road if we can help it. And we'll seek the Lord first. Next slide, sir. All right. So if you remember last time I was here, I got you all to sing. And growing up with my kids, we all sang scripture songs, and I introduced you to this scripture song because David wanted to make sure he hedged his bets when he was young, right? But in here, in this song, he was saying there was one thing I want to get straight. There's one thing that I want to get right in my mind. There's one thing that I want to nail down, and that's how I'm going to always go to church. I'm going to always be under the preaching of the Word of God, and I'm not going to, and that's why we sang this song, and we got it in the hearts and the minds of probably thousands of kids over the years. But I would like to sing that song again today, but I need your participation. I asked my wife a couple days ago, I said, were everyone singing? Because I can't hear nothing up here, right? Were everyone singing? And she's like, no, they weren't all singing. So I want to try it again. We're going to sing, right? All right, let's try this. And on that, where it says, behold the beauty of the Lord, we say that three times. Behold the beauty of the Lord, okay? Ready? One, two, three. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Behold the beauty of, behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. So thank you, Harry. I think he was the other one singing. And maybe Danny over there was trying. And a lot of you move your lips, but I can't. But let's try that one more time. And there's another scripture song later on in the lesson that I'm going to introduce you to. And you're like, well, maybe you know it, maybe you don't. But we can have fun with it. And you know what? You have fun singing a lot of other songs. Why not sing God's Word and have fun with that? And at the same time, you're hiding God's Word in your heart. And then, you know, at different times, that will come out. You can have in your mind, you know, there was one thing I nailed down in church that one day, and I'm not going to let that escape me. I'm not going to let the devil get the victory over that. That one thing, I'm going to keep doing that one thing. One thing and keep doing it. All right, let's try it again. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord Good, Joe. Behold the beauty of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire. Inquire in his temple. And no matter what goes, no matter what happens in your life, whether it's a great victory, like we were talking about a couple weeks ago, or a great tragedy, always stay under the Word of God, under the preaching of the Word of God, reading the Word of God, and always, always show up at his house and inquire in his temple. All right? So, let's see. I think we're good with that. You know, you write a lot of notes, and then you jump over them all. But last time I was here, we were talking about fighting giants, and I got to get in today's lesson pretty quick. But in life, we can face a lot of giants, whether great tragedies or great victories. But you got to be careful with the victories, because the tragedies will come. Right after that, and you got to be prepared for that, like David was. And when David, the only point that I skipped over last time that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about today was David worked on his talents. And I think we're going to have a session coming up, if I heard the pastor right. David worked on his talents, both with his harp, and with his sling, but there was a lot of other talents, you know, that he worked on, that he was a man over after God's own heart. So he was working on his talents. But there was this guy named Niccolo Paganini. And Niccolo Paganini, he was a great violinist from Italy. And you may have heard this story, but He was a well-known, famous violinist, and he played the violin like no other. And he may have been the greatest of all time. I'm not sure if you can measure that. But before he died, he willed his violin to the city of Genoa, Italy. And so he willed his priceless violin, probably at that time because of who he was, to the Genoa, Italy. The city. But he had one stipulation on that. He said, I will give you this violin that you can have, but no one, absolutely no one, is ever allowed to play that violin. That was the stipulation. So the way that the wood is on violins, if violins aren't handled and if they're not played, they will deteriorate. And that's what happened with this priceless violin from Niccolo Paganini. It sat in a case on display, and it just deteriorated. And that, the point I want to bring out is with our talents, with the things that God has given us. You might have a talent of communicating with people. You might have a talent of just reaching out and handing out tracts. You might have a talent to where you can just pray. You can pray for someone or something or the church. There's a lot of things, even at where we are, no matter what life stage you're in. God has given you special talents. You know how I know that? Some of you might be thinking, you know, I don't really have a talent. God has made each and every one of you and each and me for a reason. I'm not a mistake, even though the world will say that to some people. God has made us for a purpose. God has made us for a reason. And he's given us talents and equipped us. Why? To point back to him. To give him the glory and the honor, and to have some internal investment. We don't want to be like that violin that just rotted in the case. We want to make sure that we are used and we use the talents that the Lord has given us And it's not too late until we're in the grave. All right? And that was what I failed to cover a couple weeks ago that I wanted to bring out. But if we don't use the gifts that the Lord gives us, they'll become useless for the cause of Christ. And that's a dangerous place to be. You know, you don't want to be put on the shelf. You don't want to be put on the shelf and not used for the cause of Christ in any capacity. When we leave here today, we should be looking for opportunities to serve the Lord all week. Every time we put our head on our pillow, we should think about the next day if the Lord gives us another breath, another heartbeat, what can we do to serve Him? And I think that's so important to think that way. And I wish I thought that way more often. But I'm with you. There's a and here's how you can do that. And I wrote this down. I'm trying to think of why I wrote this down. But Hebrews, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, if you can say that you have a favorite without being talked about, because it's all good, right? The whole Bible, the whole counsel of the Word of God. But Hebrews 12:1-2. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." And I believe that's everyone that's went on before us. That's everyone up in heaven. That's everyone encouraging us. Yeah, I'm sure there's old saints and there's people up there, but each and every one of us know somebody probably that's in heaven right now. But wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, down here we need to lay aside every weight, every sin that slows us up. Because Satan, you know, you might have a past, you might have a past that haunts you maybe. You might have a past that's trying to slow you down. Maybe you had a drinking problem. Maybe you had a drug problem. Maybe you were lazy, or maybe you just, you know, were corrupt or whatever. And then you got saved. Hallelujah, you got saved. But you're allowing the past. The Bible says don't look back. Look what happened to Lot's wife. She looked back, right? It didn't do her much good. She turned into a pillar of salt. But wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run, good, with patience, the race that is set before us. The Bible describes our life down here many ways. A race that is set before us, a tale that has been told, many ways. But let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But the next part of that, Hebrews 12:2, is the most important part. How are you going to do that? How are you going to change the way you, how are you going to change that one thing that you can apply later to get closer to Christ and help serve Christ better? How are you going to do that? Well, turning your Bibles to Hebrews 12:2. And it says in there, looking unto Jesus. When you know what? When you're in your bed in the morning before you put your feet on the floor, odds are you're looking up. You're not promised a heartbeat. You're not promised a breath. But thanks be to the Lord that He's gracious and He gives you that. And you can serve Him another day. Now, not in the lesson yet, sorry. So, what time is it? 10:26. We got plenty of time. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a series every other week, if Lord allows and the pastor allows, on Jonah. And so I'm going to have a slight overview of Jonah this morning, and then we'll get into it over the course of time. But Jonah's a very interesting book that I didn't know a lot about. I mean, You know, the thing of it is, Jonah's a cute story, right? You learn in when you're younger, and you know he got swallowed by a whale, and he was in there for 3 days, and we know basically that, right? But there's a lot more. And you know what? When I'm listening to the preaching, or I'm in Sunday school, or I'm reading the Bible, I always think, why did the Lord put that in the Bible? Why would he put certain parables and different things in the Bible? Well, it's for us, right? He's put the story of Jonah, which is a real story, and he reaffirms that later on in the book of John. Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Jonah actually went through that tragedy in his life, and he was there for 3 days, and he survived it. But that really happened. But I always often think, why did the Lord put that in there? And then the second step after, why did the Lord put that in there? Why did the Lord put that story in the Bible for me? No one else. I mean, we're good at that. Oh, I hope he or she is paying attention because they need that. No. Why did the Lord put that in the Bible, and then why did he put that in the Bible for me? And now how can I use that and apply it going forward? All right? So we'll look into the study of Jonah over the course of time, over the next few weeks. And like I said, Marty and I love in the scripture Jonah 1. So if you want to turn in your Bible to Jonah, and you know what? I wish this podium was like the way I operate. I need like 6 feet, and then because I got so much stuff. But Jonah, in the text, Jonah 1:1-3. If you're there, I don't know what to do. All right. So now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And you know, I was thinking about that too. Let me finish reading. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. Jonah 1. And you know, I was reading this, and it's not part of the lesson. This is all free of charge. It's extra. But I was reading this, and you know, the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. And I was thinking about that. What an amazing God we have that just would come and give us any information or talk to us. And the amazing thing, we can pray to a holy Lord directly. That's amazing to me that the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Now the Lord comes up, you know, the Holy Spirit, the Lord talks to us and convicts us and tells us to do things. Now I wonder, you know, Jonah gets a bad rap sometimes. What would we do when the Lord... if the Lord would have came to us that day, what do we do now when the Lord comes to us? See how I apply it to us? It's for us. It's real. It's for our application today. And arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. That sounds like something I probably did in the past. And I know I haven't obeyed the Lord every time the Lord impressed upon me something to do or something to say or to hand this person a tract or anything like that. And I wish I had done better, but you can't go back in time. Remember the lesson I taught on time? Time is so precious. That's something you can't get back. You can get more money, but you can't get more time. But and went down to Joppa and found a ship to go to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. And then I was thinking about that. He paid the fare thereof. So he was running. He was fleeing from the Lord and manipulated the situation, and he found a ship. You know, you'll always find an escape. You'll always find a way out from doing what the Lord wants you to do. That's not a problem. The world and the devil will always give you that opportunity. But it says here that he paid the fare thereof. When you're fleeing the Lord, when you're going directly against the Lord, you always pay the price. You'll always pay a price that you don't want to pay. You'll pay the fare thereof. And Jonah, no doubt, did. But he said he paid the fare thereof to go on a ship and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish. Another thing I was thinking about when I was reading this, it says to go with them. When we sin, or we go against the Lord, we never do it by ourselves, even though we think we're sneaky, even though we think that we can get away with it, even though we think we're doing it by ourselves. It says to go with them. That's somebody else other than Jonah. He wasn't sinning alone. He wasn't fleeing alone. He went with them unto Tarshish. And where did he leave from? He left from the presence of the Lord. He left from the presence of the Lord. So in Matthew 12:40, if you want to go to that real quick, Matthew 12:40. Sorry. You know, the thing of it is, I mark my Bible with these little markers so I get to the scripture fast. It does. You know, you don't know which marker you're looking for. 12:40. All right. It says here, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the only thing I want to point out there, if you have a red-letter Bible, and some people don't get a red-letter Bible, but I have a red-letter Bible, that means the Lord was speaking there. And the Lord was reaffirming and confirming that that story was real. And that's just why I wanted to bring that up, Matthew 12:40, that story was real. The Son of Truth. All right, Jonah's name. I got about 9 minutes. Our names are important. You know, a lot of people don't think too much about naming their kids or naming, but our names are important. And when you pick a name for your kid, or you probably took a lot of time and a lot of thought for your child to have a name. But more important than the name that you assign that kid or that child is what that child does with that name. Once you get that name, you're on your own. And your reputation is attached to the name that you have. And Jonah had a reputation. But in Proverbs 22:1, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Solomon says, a good name is better than precious ointment in Ecclesiastes 7:1. Your name's important. And you know what? If you with your business dealings and the way you conduct yourself, and like we were talking in 1 Timothy, your example, that's all attached to your name. And as you go forward in life, you'll look back at a couple situations like, I didn't do my name justice back then. But you know what? You can go forward and attach only good things to your name. Now, just think of a couple names in history. If I say Apostle Paul to you, that's a good connotation, right? arguably the second best missionary in the world, outside of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? But you have a good thought of that. What if I said Adolf Hitler? How many good fuzzy feelings do you get when you hear that name? Not many, right? Adolf Hitler. How about Saddam Hussein? And we got, without going too deep into the United States history, which I'm not going to bring up any names, but there's some names that probably come to your mind that's like, yeah, that's not a good name. Our names are important. And so the memory, and in Proverbs 10:7, it states it pretty well when it says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. I love the words in the Bible. It doesn't play games. The name of the wicked shall rot. What about that? The son of truth. The name Amittai, which was Jonah's father, means truth. Therefore, Jonah was literally the son of truth. But Jonah was not very faithful with the truth that he was given. But he was the son of truth. And in John 14:6, Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, if you follow Jesus, you're following the truth. You can't go wrong. Jonah fleed from Jesus. He fleed from the Lord. He fleed from the truth. Once you depart from the truth, there's nothing good going to happen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 8:32, Jesus tells us, and ye shall know the truth. And the famous verse, right? All of us know. And the truth shall make you free. That's true. There's a lot of freedom when you hold on to the truth. And what's the opposite of that? There's a lot of bondage when you don't follow the Lord or you don't follow the truth. A lot of bondage. It says in John 17:14-18, and I'll read it for sake of time. I have given them thy word, and the word hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. How? Through thy truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Thy word is truth. This word, every word that proceedeth out, the whole counsel is truth. The sad thing apart, you know, some of us and a lot of Christians, a lot of preachers, they'll pick apart and choose. I'm so thankful that we got a preacher. We have a pastor that preaches the whole counsel, good and bad, according to us. But and I'm thankful for a Lord and Savior that put the truth in there and put that for us and provided it for us and preserved it for us. But I better end there. And I'm sorry, because there's a lot of good stuff following. It was just getting good. And let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for our ability to read your word and to hear your word. We don't want to take anything for granted here on this earth. We love you, Lord, and we praise your holy name, and I pray that everything that is said and done will be to glorify you. Again, we want to pray for everyone that's hurting today. We want to pray for the service that's coming up. Be with the speaker or be with the pastor. Be with whoever's bringing the message this morning. I want to pray for the staff and everyone that's supporting this church and all the deacons and all the ministries that's going to be going on right now and to follow. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day, and you got 3 minutes. No, you got 15 minutes, right? Thank you. I got through 2 slides.
Well, I'm going to be out of town the next 2 weeks.
Oh.
Are you going to be?
Yeah.